Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ, and it's time for Vinyl Countdown Part 3. Once again, I have gone through my vinyl collection and picked out some random favorites to play for you today. Ron Gettert, if that's how you pronounce it, was the frontman for a band from Tampa, Florida called White Witch. The band formed in 1971, and they released two albums on Capricorn Records, a self-titled album in 1972, and a second album called A Spiritual Greeting in 1974. Pretty cool stuff. You can hear a song by White Witch on the fourth episode of the podcast, an episode I called American Glam. After that second album, White Witch slogged it out for a few more years before breaking up, but then, in 1980, an album appeared on Polydor Records called Breaking All the Rules, and it was credited to Ron Gettert. It turns out that Ron had wanted the album to be a third White Witch album, but the name was owned by Capricorn Records, and Polydor passed on trying to acquire the rights to the name, I guess, so it was just released as a Ron Gettert solo album. All you have to do is see the album cover to know that this is going to be a cool record. It still sounds like a 70s rock record, even though it came out in 1980. Unfortunately, Ron Gettert passed away in 2000, but check out the awesome first track from his record, Breaking All the Rules, a song called Your Love.
Yeah!
The original Alice Cooper band fell apart in 1974 after the tour for the 1973 Muscle of Love album, which was made without Bob Ezrin. And although Muscle of Love made it to number 10 on the charts and went gold, its predecessor, Billion Dollar Babies, had been a number one record and platinum. Why the band broke up has never really been fully explained by anyone involved. It seems like Vincent Furnier and Shep Gordon simply co-opted the name Alice Cooper and made the Welcome to My Nightmare album without the rest of the band, possibly selling the idea initially as simply a solo excursion. It seems as if the band had not actually broken up when Alice made Nightmare, and supposedly there was talk about the original group doing a farewell tour after the Welcome to My Nightmare tour wrapped up. So it seems like it was a very unceremonious and anticlimactic dissolution of the band. Drugs and alcohol obviously played a role, as did disappointment with Muscle of Love and what must have felt like a downward trajectory that the band was on. I would guess that Vincent Furnier and Shep Gordon were trying to turn things around, and they did for a while. But after Nightmare was a success and Alice officially ditched the rest of the band, the remaining members, minus guitar player Glenn Buxton, who apparently had the biggest drug problem, the other three guys formed a band called Billion Dollar Babies. And using some of the material that had already been written for an Alice Cooper band follow-up to Muscle of Love, they released an album called Battle Axe on Polydor in 1977. The band was Neil Smith, Dennis Dunaway, and Michael Bruce from the Alice Cooper band, and then Bob Dolan on keyboards and Mike Marconi on guitar. Battle Axe is not a great album, but here's a pretty cool song from it called I Miss You. British Lions was a band formed by the former rhythm section of Mott the Hoople, Overend Watts and Dale Buffin Griffin, along with Morgan Fisher, who had played keyboards on all of the classic Mott the Hoople albums of the mid-70s. Then they recruited a frontman named John Fisher from a band called Medicine Head. Medicine Head had put out, I think, 6 or 7 albums in the 70s. They're probably most famous at this point for releasing a record called Dark Side of the Moon in 1972, which prompted Pink Floyd to consider changing the name of the album that they were in the middle of recording. So basically what happened is Nigel Benjamin had left the band that was simply called Mott, which was a band that released 2 records after Ian Hunter left Mott the Hoople. And they replaced Nigel Benjamin with John Fisher from Medicine Head and changed the name of the band from Mott to British Lions and put out 1 self-titled record on Vertigo RSO in 1978. It's not a great album, but I like the first song a lot. A song called One More Chance to Run. Rex Smith, brother to Stars frontman Michael Lee Smith, ended up in Greece on Broadway and making some teeny bopper type albums, but his recording career began as the frontman for a hard rock band, which was simply called Rex. They put out 2 albums on Columbia in 1976 and 1977. The first self-titled album is pretty heavy stuff and also pretty similar to his brother's band. The second album is a bit transitional with some indication of where Rex Smith would go musically, but also still features some pretty heavy stuff, like this song, Burn Your Bridges by Rex.
And I left her softly, moving on so slowly, never stopped to look behind me. And I left her crying, feeling like she's dying, wondering about the soul inside me. Burn your bridges left behind me. Erase my trail and you won't find me. Find me. Find me now.
In 1979, partway through recording the Night in the Ruts album, Joe Perry left Aerosmith. He recruited a vocalist named Ralph Moorman, who had previously been in a band called Bucks, B-U-X, with Punky Meadows and Mickey Jones before they formed Angel. For the second Joe Perry Project album, though, Moorman was replaced by Charlie Farron, who was the singer of a popular local Boston band called Balloon. So the Joe Perry Project with Charlie Farron on vocals put out a second record called I've Got the Rock and Rolls Again. And I love the first song on that record. It's called East Coast, West Coast. And Charlie Farron actually brought that song to the band from his previous band, Balloon.
In the East Coast and the West Coast, through the middle of the city,
brothers Rick and Tom Curtis began their recording career with a band called These Visitors, who signed with Capitol Records, and there was a single released in 1968 that went nowhere, and These Visitors eventually broke up, and Rick and Mike Curtis moved to L.A. to continue to pursue a music career. And the Curtis brothers eventually befriended a struggling duo called Buckingham Nicks. And together, those four, the Curtis brothers, Lindsey Buckingham, and Stevie Nicks, recorded a couple of demos, one of which was a song called Blue Letter, which would eventually end up on the self-titled Fleetwood Mac album, the first record that Lindsey and Stevie made with the band. That was in 1975. Then in 1976, as the Curtis brothers, there was an album on Polydor Records that also featured the song Blue Letter. So this is the Curtis brothers' version of Blue Letter. Willie Nile was a New York-based singer-songwriter who released his first self-titled album on Arista Records in 1980, and it is a highly recommended piece of work, just a great album, as is his second album for Arista, Golden Dawn, which came out in 1981. I could play almost any song from either of those albums, but I picked a short but sweet number from the first record, the self-titled Willie Nile album. I love this song. It's called That's the Reason.
Your finger and look in your eyes.
Tom Robinson was the frontman and bass player for an early punk new wave band called the Tom Robinson Band. And the Tom Robinson Band had two albums, the legendary Power in the Darkness record, and then a great follow-up album called TRB2. And this is the first song from that second Tom Robinson Band album, killer track called All Right, All Night. Brakes, B-R-A-K-E-S, were sort of a mod power pop band formed in London in 77 or 78, signed with Epic Records, and put out one album, a very strangely titled record, For Why You Kicka My Donkey. If anyone out there can tell me where that album title comes from, I'll send you a prize, because I have no idea, but it's a great record. Mod, punk, power pop, whatever it is, it's great. Highly recommended. There's not a lot of info about this band online, but here's probably my favorite song from that album, For Why You Kicka My Donkey by The Brakes. This is a song called Blame It on the Brakes.
Thinking with my
The Flies, F-L-Y-S, were a British punk mod whatever band originally formed in 1976 in Coventry, England, signed with EMI Records, released some singles and two full-length albums. Waikiki Beach Refugees came out in 1978. Amazing record. I'm not sure if I've played a song from that on the podcast before, but I should have by now because it's killer record all the way through. Then they had a second album on EMI in 1979 called Own, O-W-N. And my wife recently took a trip to Iceland, and I sent with her a list of records to look for. And at a flea market in Iceland, she picked up a copy of Own by The Flies for me. And this is a killer song from that record called 16 Down. Brains were an American sort of new wave band from Atlanta. They released two albums on Mercury Records in 1980 and 1981, and then they had an indie EP in 1982 before breaking up. Oddly enough, the Brains rhythm section, Keith Christopher and Mauro Magellan, went on to join a very different but better band, in my opinion, called the Georgia Satellites. And then Keith Christopher was replaced on bass in the Georgia Satellites by the Brains guitarist, Rick Price. Going to play you a song from that very first self-titled Brains album, and you might be familiar with this song if you're familiar with Cyndi Lauper's She's So Unusual album. This is a song by The Brains from 1980 called Money Changes Everything. Everyone knows the Romantics, power pop band from Detroit, but in between What I Like About You and Talking in Your Sleep, they put out a transitional record with a pink motif called Strictly Personal. It came out in 1981, and this song represents a more hard rock version of the Romantics. Not to be confused with the Scorpions song, this is a Romantics song called No One Like You.
I
I played this next band, Rocks, R-O-X, on one of the New Wave of British Heavy Metal episodes, an awesome song from their first single called Do You Feel Like Lovin'? But in 1983, they put out a three-song 12-inch EP called Crazy Cuts with K's. Rocks represent the glam version of the New Wave of British Heavy Metal, and this is a great song by Rocks called Sweet 16. I actually have a record by another band called Rocks, R-O-X, an American band. This record came out on Boardwalk in 1981. Not a lot of info about this band online, but I liked this song and thought it would be fun to play two bands in a row, both called R-O-X. So this is the American band, R-O-X, with a song called But Tonight.
Tonight.
The States had a self-titled album released by Chrysalis in 1979. It's just all right late 70s rock. Then New Wave hit, they cut their hair, and put out a pretty formulaic wannabe power pop record on Boardwalk in 1981 called Picture Me With You. It's not a bad album, but it feels a bit inauthentic to me. But I do like this song a lot, a song called Let's Roll by The States.
Remember my face, he said as he walked out. Baby, I'll be around. And without any doubt that she knew. Oh, she's at the end, they're trying to hold him down. The way she's been talking makes him look like a clown. Well, he's due. And that's who. She wants to know just what he plans to do. Wants to keep her.
Interview were a British rock band originally formed in 1977. They signed with EMI, and their first album, Big Oceans, is difficult to describe. It's sort of proggy new wave, a couple of great songs, especially Academies to Anger. But Interview really tightened things up on their second album, Snakes and Lovers, which was released as a self-titled record in the US with a different track order. The second Interview album is, in my opinion, a true lost classic. It's a really great record all the way through. I played Hide and Seek on one of the Power Pop episodes, and I could play pretty much any song from this record. I love this album, but I'm going to play a song from Snakes and Lovers by Interview called Crossing Borders. We'll be right back. Is probably most famous for writing All Through the Night for Cyndi Lauper or If She Knew What She Wants for the Bangles, but he's released a lot of records on his own. He had an album in 1976 with his band The Funky Kings and then put out two really good albums on Columbia in 78 and 79 with his band Jules and the Polar Bears. I'm going to play a song from the second album, Phonetics. This is a song called Good Reason.
Smoking my J-Ride.
2020's self-titled debut is an undisputed classic of the power pop genre. But like most of those bands that were signed by the major labels in the wake of the Knack, 2020 had a two-record deal. So they were able to release a second major label album on Portrait Records, came out in 1981, called Lookout. Not nearly as good as the first album, but there's one song on that record that has always stood out for me, and this might be one of the most dichotomous songs in history. Very dark subject matter paired with a very upbeat poppy melody. So this is a song by 2020 called The Night I Heard a Scream.
I tried to reach you, but I could not find the time.
She goes down.
The members were a British punk/new wave band, part of the Stiff Records scene. I'm going to play you a song from their second album, which was called 1980, The Choice Is Yours. This song was written by the band's bass player, Chris Payne. This is the members with Flying Again.
Taking their slip on.
Royal Court of China were a cool rock band formed in Nashville in 1984. They took their name from a reference to the highest form of Chinese opium. I got this from All Music Guide. And apparently Royal Court of China had originally been the name chosen by Jimmy Page and Paul Rodgers for the band that became The Firm. Royal Court of China released two albums on A&M, a self-titled record in 87, and then a record called Geared and Primed in 1989. I'm going to play you a song from that second album, great song by Royal Court of China, called Half the Truth. Green on Red formed as a punk band in Tucson in 1979, but they morphed into a sort of psychedelic-tinged band and became a part of the scene that became known as the Paisley Underground. But the band continued to evolve, and in 1985, they released a folky, almost country-sounding EP on Enigma Records called Gas, Food, Lodging. I love this album, especially this song by Green on Red called Time Ain't Nothing. Alright, I'm glad you've made it this far because I really love these last two songs. The Wonder Stuff are a quirky British band formed in 1986. Their debut album was called The Eight-Legged Groove Machine, released by Polydor in 1988. I'm going to play you a song from their second album, Hup, H-U-P. Came out in 1989. This is a great song by The Wonder Stuff called Don't Let Me Down Gently. All right, that's going to do it for Vinyl Countdown 3. Please hit me up on Facebook or the email rockandorrollpodcast@gmail.com with any comments or suggestions. And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
The Waterboys are a British, Irish, Scottish band. You tell me, Mike Scott, frontman, was born in Scotland. So the early Waterboys stuff was much more new wavy, but they went all out folk on their fourth album, Fisherman's Blues, which came out in 1988. And what a classic album. I love it. And this song just kills me. It's 7 minutes long, but it doesn't feel like it at all. Just a great, 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 great song by the Waterboys called And a Bang on the Ear. Until next time.
My love and the bang on the ear.
We crossed swords in San Francisco. We both lived to tell the tale. I don't know now where she is. Oh, but if I had her here, I'd give her my love and a bang on the ear.
Be back.